On this Father's Day, I am one blessed and one fortunate man. I have the privilege Sunday after Sunday, and soon to be 41 years with this lady, of worshiping Sunday after Sunday after Sunday with Connie Cheek. And let me tell you, I wouldn't be anywhere but right here with her in worship. You know? But Connie and I are so fortunate to know that our children on this Father's Day, are Michael and Jennifer and Griffin, are attending their church, and they're there. And I know she's a member here, but I have the privilege of having my daughter here. I love you, sweetheart. You are my girl, and I am so glad that God gave you to your mother and I. And it's so good to see you out there in worship all the time. And I thank God for so many of you that can say the same thing. You have godly children. Amen. You know, no greater tribute to a dad than godly kids. You know, folks, I used to do when I was a kid some just really crazy things to my poor father. You know, one day we were outside, and I've told you that story of knocking out my brother with a 2x4. I wasn't mad at him, you know. He just didn't duck in time when I threw the 2x4. Another time, I thought I was just freeing some imprisoned quail out of an incubator. My dad raised quail on South Cobb Drive, and he had the little baby chicks in the incubator, and I just thought they shouldn't be in there. Little did I know that he was protecting them, so I let them out. Can you imagine 200 chicks running around South Cobb Drive? Not today, but I could then, folks, because I watched it happen right there in front of my eyes. Well, I ran across a little story that just reminds me of my father and I, and it sounds like something that would have happened to me. Story is told of a little boy, a young boy, matter of fact, that was driving his dad's tractor, and that usually happens on the farm. And he had a hay rack behind the tractor, and he was pulling it. And for some reason, some way, somehow, right in front of one of their neighbor's house, another farmer, that hay rack turned over and emptied all that hay out. Well, the farmer neighbor came out and saw the young boy, and he was just crying, and he said, "Son, don't worry about this. We can fix it. So right now, lunch is ready in the house. Won't you come in, have a good lunch, and then in a few minutes, I'll come right out there, and I'll help you pick up the hay. We'll put it back on the rack, and things will be fine. So just don't worry." Little boy started shaking his head, and he says, No, I cannot go in right now. My father is going to be very, very angry." Well, the farmer said, "Son, please, don't worry. Just come in. You eat some lunch, and everything will be just fine." And the boy was persistent, shaking his head, drying the tears, and he says, "I'm just afraid my father is going to be very, very angry with me." Well, finally, the neighbor said, "Won't just come in. Everything will be fine." They went in, and they had lunch. Good lunch. And afterwards, they walked outside to that old overturned hay rack. And the farmer says, "Now, son, don't you just feel better now?" And that poor little guy did the same thing. He bowed his head and he shook his head. And he says, "Yes, but I'm just going to tell you, my daddy is going to be very, very angry with me." And the old farmer says, nonsense. "Hey, listen, I haven't seen your dad today. Where is he?" And the little boy says, "He's right over yonder under all that hay that just turned over." That would have happened to me had my childhood been extended. You know, folks, I was one of the fortunate ones. I had a godly dad and a godly mother. A faithful dad. And the longer I live, the older I become, the faster I know how extremely blessed and fortunate I was to have such a dad. And over these last few weeks, my thoughts have returned to my dad. Matter of fact, I'm using, out of an honor to him, his Bible that's just really stays in my office, but it's just about to fall apart. but the privilege of just using my dad's Bible. I remember all the fun times we had, and I remember all those times he disciplined me and he taught me right from wrong. He was a godly dad. And folks, that's why and where I learned to do what I do from as a father, because I was taught that by my own father. Then I go back and I read Joshua. Joshua, Moses' assistant. Joshua, the man that would lead the children of Israel into the promised land. The men, the women, and the children. They looked up to Joshua like their dad on this earth, because he was going to be the one to lead them. And I want you to listen to those words that this morning we have almost deluged you, which is fine with what the scripture says about Joshua 1, verses 1 through 9. Some of the most encouraging, powerful words from God through Joshua. And listen to what it says. Beginning in verse 1, it says, "After the death of Moses, the Lord's servant, the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, who had served Moses. And he said, 'Moses, my servant is dead. Now you and all the people, I want you to prepare to cross over the Jordan, and I'm going to give you, that I'm giving the Israelites. I've given you every place, Joshua, where your foot shall trod, just as I promised Moses.'" Now verse 4. "Your territory will be from the wilderness of Lebanon to the great Euphrates River, all the land of the Hittites, and all in west to the Mediterranean Sea." Then look at this. "No one will be able to stand against you as long as you live, because I'm going to be with you, Joshua, just like I was with Moses. I'm not going to leave you, and I'm not going to forsake you." And then Joshua says this. God says to him, "Be strong and courageous, for you will distribute the land I swore to the fathers to give them as an inheritance." And then he says it again, "Above all, be strong and very courageous to carefully observe the whole instruction my servant commanded you. Don't turn from it to the right or the left, so that you will have success in wherever you go. This book of instruction, the very word of God, must not depart from your mouth, Joshua. You are to recite it day and night so that you may carefully observe everything written in it, for then you will prosper now in whatever you do." And then the memory verse for this morning that most in this room can quote, "Haven't I commanded you, Joshua, be strong, you be courageous, don't you be afraid or discouraged and dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." Well, folks, when I read that and when I went back to those words, I just started writing again of some things that God was teaching Joshua. Then I went back to my father. I went back to what he did in my life. That's the example I have to refer to. And as I said from the outset, I realize how fortunate and blessed I have been on this earth to have had a godly, faithful dad. But then God led me to six things that he was telling Joshua that I believe, man, he's telling you and me in being the head of our house and to being the father to our children and what we must do. And I want to remind you, to Joshua and to me and you, these six things are not suggestions. They're not, "Why don't you try this?" These were commands. And it's very strong of what God says in the very words of Joshua. So let me run through these with you quickly. It won't take long, but I want you to listen to them, guys. And you ladies as well. It's for all of us today. Here are those six things. The first thing, guys, if we are going to be that faithful dad, we're going to be that godly dad, and even to your children that God has blessed you with, to your foster children, to your stepchildren, to your blended family children, and you're going to be that God to them and a granddad, the first thing you've got to do is be obedient to God. In verse 2, "Now you and all the people, prepare," get ready, get yourself ready. That word prepare means exactly what it says, "to cross over to the Jordan, to the land I'm going to give you." Actually, the word in the prepare in the Hebrew is the word we pronounce kum, not C-U, but Q-U-M if we write it in English. And it means basically to get up, stand up, get ready, and do something. So when you prepare, you don't just write it or get the plans down, you enact the plans. So it's a kind of a dual word here. And the Lord says, be obedient to God. Do what the Word of God says, period. So many in this world says, well, I don't believe the Word of God. No offense, folks, it doesn't matter whether you believe it or not. The Bible is the infallible, inerrant Word of God. It really doesn't matter whether you believe it or not. God said it, and that finishes it, because God said it. So, men, the first thing we've got to strive to do is be obedient to God. And I believe, in fact, I know if there was ever a man on the face of the earth that was obedient to God, it was my father. You didn't have to be around him but a few minutes. Some of you in this house knew my dad, and you knew exactly how he stood on different things, but he stood upon the Word of God. He was obedient to the Word of God. The second thing, guys, that you and I must do, it's found in verse 3 and 4, trust God. That's such a simple word, trust, but that word is so complex. There's one point of having trust or faith, and then there's moving forward a little bit more with faith and actually having trust. You remember the illustration I've shown you and told you about before, where we did the trust fall at one point, where you stand up on a table. Don't try this at home without it being completely, totally arranged. And I did that one time in Forest Park, had my deacons right behind me, and they were ready. Trust me, folks, we had rehearsed this. And I stood back on the table, put my hands back there in a trust fall. You always do that ready. The person who is your person back here, along with the other six or eight that are back there, they say ready. You know they're ready. Then you put your hands on your arms like this, and then you fall backwards. Now, these guys are going to catch you, hopefully. And my deacons did, because I knew they were back there. But you know something? There is a point at which my hands were like this, and I went back. I can't do that standing here because I would lose my balance. But I went back. There was a point that I could never recover from that fall. In other words, I was completely in the hands of those men, and I was still 6 foot off the floor when they caught me. And had they missed, that wouldn't have been a good scene. My point is this. Trust in God is that point that you're falling back and you have no more control. We don't like to give up control. None of us do. We're human. But God says, you fall in my arms. You trust me. Because the Bible said in verses 3 and 4, I have given you every place that your foot's going to go. The Bible says, I have given to. It's done. It's settled. It's not up for discussion. God says, I'm going to see to it, and I'm going to take care of you. No matter what you face, no matter what you go through, no matter what adversity can come your way, God says the winner of this story is God. He's the winner. He's laid out your tread. He's sovereign. And that word given in the Hebrew means it's been delivered to you in your hands. It's the same word that's used when someone brings you a gift and hands it to you. You reach out, you receive that gift, and it becomes yours, not to be yanked back. There's a third word, or third phrase, guys, that we must do. Believe God's presence. I am so glad in verse 5 it says this. The Bible says, I will not leave you nor forsake you. I wish I could tell you, and I can't, the hundreds and hundreds, probably into the thousands of times, my dad would put his hand on my shoulder and he said, "That son, I don't care what you do. I don't care where you end up. I don't care this, that, but I'm going to always love you. There's nothing, there's absolutely nothing that you can do that will ever cause me to not love you." I'm sure he was concerned of where my life was going and all that, but he was trying to make a point. He was trying to say, listen, I will be there for you. I will not forsake you. and to hear the verbal words from my daddy saying to me, Randy, I will be there for you. I won't leave you. Folks, I realize how fortunate I am. There are people in this room who've never heard that from a father. And folks, I am so sorry. I wish I could be that part for everybody. I can't. But God says for us in this church, for men in this church, believe the presence of God. He's not going to leave us. Maybe somebody needs you to hear them today, to call them on the phone even before you leave this room. And once again says, if you ever need a friend, I'm not going anywhere. I will be there for you. I won't leave. The word rapa in the Greek, in the Hebrew, means to abandon, means to turn your back on completely. And forsake means to literally depart, to abandon. It means to walk away from completely. Believe the presence of God. The fourth one is this. We said that today. Remain strong and have what, y'all? Courage. That statement. I love those words, strong. Strong is the word powerful. But I like this, courageous. Now, if I ask every one of us in this room to define the word courageous, we'd all have our own definition about it. And they would all be pretty much right. We know what courageous means. But in the Hebrew, here's what it meant. It's a word for a soldier. And it's a word for the soldier that he plants his feet down like this, and he gets ready. And the stance is like this, and you can't move him. I'll never forget at Osborne High School one time. I was always in the band. But I one time went out for football. Coach Early and Coach Tanner were our coaches. Now, y'all, I was skinny during those days and shorter, I guess, than I am now. I don't know, but I was skinny. And I'll never forget, I stood up in that line to hear all these guys, man. They stand like this. You know, and whatever. And here's a little skinny, scrawny me. And finally, Coach Early gets down to me, and he looks back to all these big old, huge guys, and he looks to me and says, Randy, are you sure you want to do this? They thought I'd be killed, you know, and probably would. But I can remember those guys on that front line and tell me, folks, I wanted to run the other way. They'd get down there, and they would get that stance. You know, that football stance? I can't do it. If I do, I'd hurt myself. But they were just like this, you know, and they were hunkered down, so to speak. That's what courage means. It means you're immovable. Nothing can stop you, not in a bad way, in a strong, powerful way. So he says, be strong. That's a word that means mighty. It can mean reverent and all, yes, but in this case it means mighty. But to have courage here means to hunker down, get your feet planted on solid ground. Get that stance, and you will be ready at what Satan wants to throw at you no matter what. Be vigilant. Wow. So remain strong. Have courage. And number five is found in verse 8. Make God's word priority. Oh boy. I wish in evangelical churches across this world, our dads would do number five like never before. Keep God's word on your lips. Keep God's word in your mind. Let it emanate from your heart. I've been with my dad before. He was in charge of all the Coke vending at Lockheed Dobbins, the Naval Air Station, during the 60s and early 70s before he died, and he had men under him. And I remember riding with him in that little three-wheel pickup scooter that he rode around that place all over. And I, again, folks, the times right there on the tarmac when I could get on that, I can't anymore, but when I could, all out there, and Dad would drive in and his son would be with him. The many times I heard my dad talk about Jesus during the day. Folks, we can't even talk about Jesus in our workplace, hardly anymore. You know? Just the very fact he made the Word of God priority. He taught me the Word of God. He taught me what that Word said. I'd come home from my college classes, and I would sit down with my dad, and I'd just say, I got you, Dad. The man, we'll go with this and whatever. Never failed. My father had a fifth grade education. He never finished high school. But I'm going to tell you, He's the smartest man I have ever met on the face of the earth. And that came through a heart that loved the Word of God. The sixth thing, I've already said it, it's found in verse 9. Be vigilant, guys. Keep your eyes open. We are living on the edge. We are living in days where I believe God is preparing. We are seeing the birth pains, should we say, of the intense pains. How many times have you ever seen weather throughout this world becoming now more intense? I heard last week in one part of the world, the newscaster says this part of the world has never seen weather this intense ever before. And I can't help but believe, is God beginning the birth pains, those intense pains of this earth, where He is doing the final preparations before He's going to take out His church? Personally, I believe He is. And I believe, and I've said it, and I will say it till the day I die, we are living on the edge of the edge. Folks, be vigilant. Be vigilant. He says, don't you be afraid. That word afraid right there in the Hebrew is exactly what it says. It means scared stiff, terrified. Don't let fear overtake you. We live in a world, I was talking to Michael last night about his work and telling me some of the things in Dunwoody alone that you would never think would even happen are happening now all over where we are. We live almost in fear. Don't let that fear completely overtake you. God says, I'm not going to give you a spirit of fear because that's from Satan. But I'm going to give you a spirit of a strong mind and sound integrity in who you are and the very power of God. And He says, don't let discouragement. The word discouragement here in the Hebrew means to be broken. It means to be in a state of panic. It describes the terror of a panic of the military leaders whose courage has been broken down. Wow. So there they are. There's six things I just told you about. Number one, be obedient to God. Number two, trust God. Number three, believe God's presence. And number four, remain strong, guys, and have courage. And number five, make God's word priority. And number six, be vigilant. Keep watch. Keep your eyes open because old Satan is running around wanting to devour whomever he I learned so much from my earthly dad, simply by the way he lived and the way he acted. He loved God more than anyone or anything ever. He loved his wife and family more than anything else on this earth. My dad did an honest day's work, and he taught his children to do the same. My dad didn't drink alcohol ever. He never used foul language. I never heard my father complain or grumble about anyone or anything. I never heard him use one demeaning word about anyone. He always carried a saying with him, if you see someone without a smile, make sure you would give him yours. My dad was obedient. He trusted. He believed. He was strong. My dad made the word of God his priority. My father was vigilant. I learned those traits from my dad, and I hope they're obvious. Not to pat me on the back, but once again, how fortunate I was, folks, to be able to have a godly father. I went back and found a poem that I had found years and years ago, but man, it has so much meaning for me now that I'm older. It's called Daddy's Table Grace, and I just want to close on this, and then we'll go. It says this. Says, as we sit at the table, our family's head bowed low, my thoughts return to childhood and the finest man that I know. He didn't speak good English, and he was just a simple man, but when he was talking to the Lord, every little child could understand. I was young and restless, but the thought still comes to me when I told my dad that I thought that I was old enough to leave. Well, he sat there at the table, and And a look came on his face, and he never spoke another word till he said, the table grace. He bowed his head and said, "Our gracious Heavenly Father, we're all gathered here today to give thee thanks for blessings. So humbly now we pray. My oldest son is leaving, but I'm sure he knows what's best. But just in case, would you stand by and would you help him stand the test?" And Lord, he's awful neglectful about church on Sunday morning. And if he gets with the wrong crowd, will you let him hold your arm? If he flies too high, would you clip his wings? But don't let him fall too hard, Lord. I'm sure you can handle all those things. I've tried my best from day to day to teach him right from wrong. And he's grown up to be a fine young man, and he's always blessed our home. We pray, O Lord, for guidance, that he won't build upon the sand. But we won't worry half as much if we just know he's in your hand. No, yes, Lord, it won't be long until I'll be coming home. I know I'm in life's sunset. Just please don't make me wait too long. We pray, O Lord, for guidance. Please cleanse us from all our sin so we can all be together in heaven. In Jesus' name, amen. The table was then very silent. Tears rolled down my face. From that day on, I have based my life on Daddy's table of grace. I thank God for my faithful dad. And I thank God for you men. And as God grows you young people, that you would become faithful dad so that one day someone can stand in a pulpit and say about you, faithful grandpa, a faithful man. Amen. And amen. Wow. Let's pray together. Lord, thank you for Father's Day. Thank you for the time that we can look at Joshua and see what he says. And then, Father, we can interpret those words of what you mean for them for us today. And Lord, thank you for Pop. Thank you for giving him to me those 21 years of my life. Thank you for those years and what he taught me. And Father, to honor him, but even more so to honor him, thank you, Lord, that we can share these words that are the word of God for all of us in this house. Thank you, Father, for these men. Thank you for these young men in this room. And Lord, your will be done in our life. You have and you know the time. When the scriptures say it's appointed unto man once to die, you know all that. And Father, you've got that arranged. Help us until that moment. Do you either call us home or you come take out your church? Help us to be faithful men in your kingdom. Be an army, a soldier of the army of the Lord, and to serve you like never before. I love you, Father. And Lord, I love these folks. Thank you. In the name of Jesus, amen. And amen. Would you stand to your feet if you would? And a little chorus, "Lead Me, Lord." Let's sing that together. Whatever's on your heart, Matthew will be down here as well as we come together. And I'll be here. You come right now as we close this time of worship.